live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You know what time it is. It's 1 o'clock here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. And you know that means that Current Sports is coming right to your ear. Happy Monday to you all. It is March 4th, 2019, and our plate runneth over on this Monday edition of Current Sports. A lot went down over the weekend, okay? You had the NFL Combine taking place at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. Got a few takeaways when it comes to that. Some very impressive performances from some really talented college and hopefully pro athletes, right, come this summer. We'll talk about the NFL Combine. We'll also briefly touch on the Detroit Pistons and the role that the red, white, and royal blue is currently on right now. I thought that the Pistons would probably squeak in at eighth, but now it looks like the Pistons, if they continue this consistent play that we've seen these last 3 weeks or so, the Pistons may get a six seed in the NBA playoffs, right? Crazy stuff. But what's going to dominate the hour, and it was so shocking that I'm actually throwing out the usual order of today's Current Sports. You know, usually right now I'd be saying, all right, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Well, all that's out the window, at least for right now, because I know many of you Spartan fans want to get this off your chest. I know you want to vent about this, because what happened this past weekend in Bloomington, Indiana, nobody saw coming. Michigan State, I can't believe I'm saying this right now, Michigan State swept this year by the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana stole one at the Breslin Center earlier this season, and then they stole a game at home, squeaking out a one-point victory over Tom Izzo's team. Can you believe that? And for me, I just got to be straight up real with you guys. You know, Michigan State certainly had a great chance at winning a Big Ten title. And there's a few very positive Spartan fans out there that still believe that Michigan State can win at least a share of the Big Ten title. Now, some things would have to happen. They would need a lot of help in order for that to happen. But I think that's out the window now based on what happened this past weekend against Indiana. So I want to get right to it right now. If you want to join the conversation, we are opening up our phone lines a bit early today. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And we are going to tackle the big news of Michigan State losing to Indiana not once but twice this season. How in the world did this happen? That was a bit odd, right? I mean, watching it, I couldn't believe it. I was kind of stunned when, you know, the Cassius Winston shot didn't really have a chance at possibly winning the game in the final seconds. And then to see the students rush the court at Indiana, and the reality setting in that Michigan State really just lost this game. Michigan State was in control of this game, had the lead at halftime, and in that second half, there were some puzzling occurrences that led to the Spartans going back to East Lansing with the L. Now, in just a moment, I am going to play you the Tom Izzo press conference as Tom Izzo literally is just leaving the podium at the Breslin Center to put in perspective what occurred against the Hoosiers. Before I throw to that audio, I just want to give you a few takeaways from what I saw in that game. Indiana, again, Indiana now has two wins against top 10 teams this year. Both of those wins coming against Michigan State. A 79-75 overtime win at the Breslin on February 2nd, and now a 63-62 win at home 2 days ago, this past weekend. Now, with the second upset, Indiana pulled off the two-game season sweep of the Spartans for the first time since 2013. Before this year, the Hoosiers were actually 1-7 against Michigan State since 2014. So we're talking about some recent history here being made by the Indiana Hoosiers. And when you dive into the numbers, the statistics of this game, there are a few that just blow my mind. And I just don't understand how Indiana won this thing. When you look at shooting-wise for Indiana, Indiana shot 37.7% from the floor. Michigan State was 54% shooting from the floor, and Indiana still won that game. Indiana, 37%, Michigan State, 54%. Pretty good for the Spartans. And Michigan State was keen on letting the Hoosiers shoot. You know, Indiana shooting 30.8% from deep before Saturday. When you do the math, that is 328th best out of 353 teams in college basketball this season. 30.8% from the three-point line is what Indiana was shooting coming into that game against Michigan State. 328th best. And heading into this game, Justin Smith was 4-for-20 on the season from three-point range and just 7-of-30 in his career. And then something clicked. It was like the stars aligned and everything was going in for Justin Smith and the Hoosiers. Justin Smith, despite those horrid numbers, went 3-for-4 from deep in the first half, and he finished the game with a career high 24 points. But the three-pointers weren't what killed Michigan State in this game. Indiana was 9-for-24 from deep in the game, folks. That's a 37% clip. Better than average, but certainly not deadly. Certainly not the reason that you beat a top 10 program in Michigan State. So how does Indiana shoot almost 20% worse than the Spartans and outscore them? Well, dig a little deeper, folks. And this is something that Izzo harped on and harped on and harped on while he was at the podium this afternoon at the Breslin. Indiana dominated the offensive glass. The Hoosiers picked up 15 offensive rebounds on the game. Michigan State had just 5. That included a 10-1 margin in the second half alone, where Indiana scored 6. Yes, count them. 6 second chance points. I mean, you think this team is missing Nick Ward? A 10-1 margin in favor of Indiana on the offensive glass in the second half. Yeah, that's how you get beat, folks. But the rebounds, you know, didn't need to lead to points to be effective because Indiana led, you know, 63-62 and had the ball with a minute and 27 seconds left. On the ensuing possession, they missed 3 shots, picked up 2 offensive rebounds, allowed them to burn the clock, and there were only 34 seconds left when Michigan State got the ball back, giving them just 1 look to win the game. And again, we all know what happened there. So can Michigan State win the Big Ten Conference? Again, I'm keeping it real with you guys. I don't think they can. I think that ship sailed when you lose to the Hoosiers on the road and you get swept by them for the season. And Purdue right now, it's Purdue's to lose. Right now, the Purdue Boilermakers, they are in prime position right now to win the Big Ten championship. I mean, I don't see, in order for Michigan State, this is what will have to happen if Michigan State is going to win, because they can't win it outright anymore. In order for Michigan State to at least get a share of the Big Ten championship, they would need Purdue to lose one of the two next games, which are on both on the road for Purdue. But again, they're against lowly competition. At Minnesota tomorrow, that's an 8 p.m. tip time. And then they will be at Northwestern on the 9th. I just don't see Purdue losing to Minnesota or Northwestern. And right now the Boilermakers are on a roll. They have won five straight. Heck, dating back to the loss to Michigan State earlier this season, the first game that they met, that's when Michigan State ended up beating Purdue. Because remember, the second matchup, Michigan State beat Purdue. That was a 10-point victory in favor of the Spartans, 73-63. But dating back to that first matchup, Purdue has only lost one game, and that's at Maryland. That was a 70-56 final. They have been on a complete roll. And they played Minnesota earlier this season, beat Minnesota 73-63. I just don't see them dropping those two games. I don't know. Just looking at this thing realistically. Now, if by some stretch of imagination, you know, Purdue does lose to Minnesota, that'll make things really interesting at the Breslin to finish out the regular season next week against in-state rival Michigan, right? Michigan State, Michigan, a chance to win a share of the Big Ten title. That would be fun. But right now, I don't see Purdue. I just see them closing out things and just give it to them now, in my opinion. But crazier things have happened, folks. It is March now, March Madness. I get all that, but that's just me attacking it from a realistic perspective. All right. I want to play for you what Tom Izzo had to say, because, you know, immediately after the game, you know, Izzo was, you could tell when he was at the podium, he was a bit shocked, frustrated, angry. But again, let's keep it all the way 100 here. Tom Izzo didn't do himself any favors. It was very puzzling how in the final 11 minutes and like 30-something seconds, the final 11-plus minutes of the game, Tom Izzo just stopped rotating his players on the basketball court. He played the same five players for 11 minutes and 30-something seconds. Why? I don't know. I'm not sure. And again, you will... Izzo will clarify that in a bit here, but I just did not understand that. Actually, looking at here, doing some further research, I have this in my notes. I had to dig a bit to find it, but MSU, get this, MSU didn't make any subs after the 11 minute and 42 second mark of the second half. No subs at all. Same five. For the final 11:42. When Kyle Arns couldn't go, and Izzo decided that he couldn't rely on, you know, Thomas Kithier, which I didn't understand that move, Michigan State literally just had five players out there. The same five for the final 11 minutes. Puzzling. And you could just kind of tell as the game went along, looking back at it, looking at the highlights, Michigan State looked tired. They looked a bit, you know, out of it. Physically, I don't know. For me, they look tired when that game came down to the wire. And can you imagine that? I mean, the same five for the final 11 minutes? Don't understand that. But right now, here's Tom Izzo at the podium this afternoon at the Breslin Center. This audio, hot off the presses, as Izzo addresses what happened this past weekend and how his team plans on moving forward now.
Well, we got 1 week left of the regular season, and as I've said a million times, what you really hope for each year is to be mathematically in place to have a chance to win a championship, which we still do after a disappointing finish in the game Saturday. There's no question that that was, you know, an incredible week where you, if you're a Wild World of Sports fan, you saw the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat all within 6 days. And I thought we played well enough in that game for 38 minutes to win the game. And we did not win the game. And all we can do is look at ourselves. We've had a lot and shared a lot of adversity. And yet, doesn't change. You know, there's nothing we can feel bad about. We can just learn from it and figure out how to deal with it better. It's probably strengthened our resolve a little bit, strengthened our team in some ways. But right now, the only focus we have is on the Nebraska game. Not only to try to win a game, because we need a win, but to try to improve as a team. And the two areas that I'm looking at most are improving those turnovers, which we've been better at the second half of the season, but still erratic, and improve our defensive rebounding. We did a great job in the first half and just a pathetic job, especially in the last 4 minutes. I think we got out-rebounded 8-2. So that part, you know, is disappointing, but our expectations haven't changed. The goals haven't changed. Injury update, I suppose I should say. You know, Nick will not suit up for this game for sure. What he does for the next 2 weeks will yet to be seen. He does, I think, visit with the doctor on Wednesday. There'll be some thoughts there. Kyle Arnes is, you know, that's going to be day-to-day, if that. Heard it again on Saturday, and that's why he did not go back in the game. But everybody else is maybe as healthy as they've been. McQuaid is better, practiced some today, and yet he's, I think, getting closer to 85%. In Nebraska, they've been through a tough stretch since they lost Copeland to injuries, but yet it's a very talented team and a very experienced team. Palmer is one of the best scorers in the league, and I think a guy that could play for anybody. He's averaging 18 a game and shooting 80% from the line. He gets to the line a lot. He's getting there almost eight and a half times a game, which is a ton. I think the biggest improvement in their team in the last couple games, when they almost beat Purdue at Nebraska, is their senior Watson. Watson was a guy that a lot of people had as a preseason, you know, second teamer at worst, and had an average year so far. And last 4 or 5 games, he started to shoot the ball. He's very athletic. He leads the team in 3-point shooting. And then junior forward Isaiah Roby is also a guy that is very active for a 6'9 guy. He's a double figure scorer. He leads the team in rebounding at almost 8 a game. Nebraska, one of their strengths is one of our weaknesses. They turn the ball over, I think, 6th or 7th best in the country at about 9.5 a game. And the 5 active players they had have made at least 23 pointers, each one of them. So they have different guys that are shooting the ball from the 3, which will be a different challenge for us. As I look back at where we are as far as defense and offense, you know, the big problem, we shoot 54% in the last game, but we only get 48 shots. Part of that is from the offensive rebounding, part of that, or lack thereof, and part of it is the turnovers and being plus 10 in the turnovers. And that's been disappointing. We're not running as good as we were running a month ago. Some of that is self-explanatory with the injuries, and some of it we tried to work hard on today to get back to. So whatever questions you have, I'll answer.
Tom, Cassius's rookie year was pretty brutal on him. It was tough. You were tough on him. The adjusting to the game was tough, but look where he is today. Foster isn't going to change. There's not enough time in the season for him to make a major change. But have you had Cash talk to him about, hey, I know what a rough rookie season is, and look where I'm at?
Mm-hmm. Cassius has talked to him, and so have I. And Foster, you know, last game, swear we'd play him a little bit more, and probably cost us some at the end, and didn't play bad 2-3 minutes he was in there, and probably at this point, you know, deserves a little more of a chance. But what I try to tell my team guys is you got to remember when the year started, I thought I'd play Henny 10-12 minutes. I thought I'd play Foster a few minutes. I thought about redshirting three other guys and even talked to each one of them about it. And the way life goes, it just didn't turn out that way. But we shouldn't expect that. We should learn from Cassius. You know, it was hard on him, but in some ways, what's so hard? You know, he came in, good player, but it's not like you come in a top five player. You know, I'll say it 100 times. We get spoiled sometimes, like every freshman supposed to be at Duke or Kentucky is supposed to just excel. And that's not the way it works for 95% of them. And as I said about guys going from high school to college, it's the same from college to pro. Most of the time, if you're not as successful as early on, it's physical. You know, I always use Chris Webber. I mean, he could go from high school to college and college to pro, because he was physically that way. Zach Randolph was physically. Most guys, if they struggle, it's because they're not physically ready. And Cassius went through some of that. Foster's going through it even more. Gabe has gone through a little bit of that. Marcus Bingham has gone through a little bit of that. So I still think Foster's going to play a little bit more each game. We'll see. But I do think that has to happen. You know, in some ways, we're going to be force-fed on who we play because of the injuries. So there'll be a couple other guys that are going to get a couple more chances coming up tomorrow, and we'll see how they respond.
That was my next question, was with Kiss here, especially that one little stretch in the second half that I think it was the 9-0 run that he was in there. What was different maybe from him in that game? Was it just simply a physical matchup with the Indiana guys?
Yeah, strictly physical. They have 6'8 guys that are built and are strong and are very athletic. And Kithier held his own in a lot of games. He held his own actually against a bigger guy who wasn't as athletic when he was in there against Davis. But, you know, you go on an 8-2 rebound edge at the end. They hit a couple threes that, you know, if you look at those games, and it's easy to say, hindsight, but both times they had some guys that haven't hit threes all year that made threes, and so that makes runs look worse than they really are. But the offensive rebounding that teams have done against us a lot this year is a shame. It just shouldn't happen, and hasn't happened here very often in 20-some years, and we got to clean it up again. And we're spending more time, you know, losing Nick hurts that, because it's not his 7 rebounds, it's his 7 rebounds in 23 minutes. If you look at rebounds per minute, he'd be even a lot higher. It's a lot more value, just like points per minute. But when we're not cutting out, we're not getting a body on somebody, that's our fault. When a guy jumps over a guy because he's just a superior athlete or superior size, that's just the way it is. I thought in the last game, it's a combination of both, but I really felt our bigs did not cut out like they could or should, and some of that was probably the number of minutes they played. So I got to find a way to do a better job, that's all.
Tom Izzo, a bit of what he had to say
this afternoon at the Breslin Center as Tom Izzo holds his weekly press conferences every Monday afternoon inside of the Breslin Center mezzanine level. I'll post the entire press conference courtesy of WKAR.org later on this afternoon, but just wanted to give you a bit of a taste of what was going through Izzo's mind and breaking down that game, you know, now having some time to digest it and look at the film, what Izzo saw that led to his team falling to Indiana, a season sweep by the Indiana Hoosiers. I don't see how Michigan State is going to now at least win a share of the Big Ten title simply because Minnesota has an easy final slate of games left at Minnesota, at Northwestern, two games in which Purdue should win. It's Purdue's to lose, right? For Michigan State, though, I got some concerns. And, you know, we could go back and forth about the problems for Michigan State all day long, but they got to get Nick Ward back. That's where I begin with this, because as you heard Izzo say, you know, giving an injury update, Kyle Arns did re-injure yet again. He tweaked that back of his against Indiana. He is listed as day-to-day. Nick Ward is not going to suit up against Nebraska tomorrow. So you won't have Nick Ward back tomorrow. I don't think he'll play against Michigan come senior day this weekend. And again, you guys know how I feel about this. If Nick Ward is 99.9% ready, I'm not playing him. And until Nick is 100% ready, you don't need him. Rest him for as long as you can, because the Big Ten tournament, it's meaningless, and you don't want anything crazy to happen in that game. You don't want him to re-injure it or get hit the wrong way. You just don't want to take that chance in the Big Ten tournament. Rest him up and get him ready for the big dance, because that's where Michigan State should be looking forward to making a run, possibly, coming in. But right now, real quick, I want to go behind the glass because, as you guys know, those who tuned in to last week's Current Sports, we don't have our usual crew of Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, and Connor Mathis due to spring break for the students here at MSU. So Alec, Jack, and Connor, you know, with some well-deserved time off. So for the week, we have filling in behind the glass my man Brad Walker, who is an avid sports fan. Brad, happy Monday to you. How are you, my man?
Happy Monday to you.
Yes, Monday. I like that. So, Brad, you know, we always have these conversations. After I get off the air on Current Sports, you know, either in my office or right here in Studio S, and we always debate about what happened in that previous day in the world of sports. In particular, we always love to talk MSU hoops.
Sure.
And I want to get your thoughts on what you saw this past weekend at Indiana, and how concerned are you when it comes to this team figuring some things out? Now that it's March, it's March 4th here. I mean, in just weeks here, we're talking about postseason play for Michigan State. You know, when it comes to the Big Ten tournament next week, Michigan State, you know, I don't place a lot of value on the Big Ten tournament. I'm not a big fan of it. Conference tournaments mean nothing, but, you know, if Spartan fans want to see Michigan State hoist up a trophy in Chicago at the United Center, they'll have to win three straight Friday to Sunday next week. And then the big dance happens. You have Selection Sunday and then the big dance. Based on what you saw, though, the fact that Indiana, it doesn't even sound right every time I say it, Indiana swept Michigan State for the season. Just how concerned are you about this team right now?
Forget about the conference. Against Nebraska, you should play everybody but your starting five. I mean, you really should. They are gassed.
Right.
They are tired. They're not going to be able to. Forget about the conference. I know that Tom probably wants to beat Michigan. Okay.
Definitely.
So play your guys.
Yeah.
Conference tournament, play everybody else but the five. And if Nick Ward can play for a little bit, let him play for a little bit to get the dust off, the rust off.
Well, that's another good point.
That's
as
what
well.
I would do.
When it comes to Nick, yeah, I mean, because that's the other layer of an athlete that is so essential to the success of a team. Having a long injury, an injury where you're out multiple games, out multiple weeks. The other factor to that is, okay, you can't just go right back into the lineup and it's like, you know, all is well with the world again, right? He needs some time to get it acclimated to the offense. I'm pretty sure he's keeping himself in shape. Tom Izzo noted that you didn't hear this in that press snippet, but Izzo did note that Ward is coming along quite well. What they do, I didn't know they do this in MSU men's basketball practice. The practice before a home game, they begin the practice by having somebody on the team drain a half-court shot. So they all line up and try to drain a half-court shot. And this morning, it was Nick Ward that drained the half-court shot. So he's feeling good. He, you know, Izzo said he walked in smiling. He's just ready to be back. But there's still some healing that needs to come. Now, in a dream scenario, I love what you're saying, Brad. You know, if you could sit your five starters and just play guys like Marcus Bingham and Foster Lawyer, throw out Aaron Henry, right? If you could, Aaron Henry now, you can't throw him out there because he's a starter, right? You want to rest him as well. But if you could just throw out a bunch of, you know, bench players and compete against Nebraska and Michigan, I would be with that. In a perfect world, certainly. But, you know, the Michigan game means a lot here in this
play
state,
him against
right?
Michigan, obviously,
exactly.
And Aaron Henry can play because he doesn't log in 30 minutes a game.
That's true. And you know what? When it comes to Aaron, really quick note about Aaron Henry. I just feel like Aaron, he's going through a confidence issue right now. And I think that because like I said last week, Brad, if Michigan State could get anywhere from like 10 to 12 points from Aaron Henry, all would be well. Without a doubt. And they would have beaten Indiana this past weekend. But Aaron, I think, second guesses himself. I think he gets kind of caught up in, and again, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall here and just kind of trying to take myself through the mindset of what Aaron is possibly thinking here. But he's a talented freshman, but I think he gets caught up in being a freshman, you know, not wanting to rock the boat, understanding that this is a team game. Sure, I could maybe be more aggressive, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to throw off the team chemistry here. When in certain spots of the game, they need Aaron Henry to try and make something happen. Well, if you don't have your starter scoring, that hurts, Brad.
Toward the end of the Indiana game, there was a possession that they had that Aaron was open for a jumper.
Right.
He didn't take it. He was looking around to pass it, and I thought that's where you needed him to shoot the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think he's going through that mindset of trying to. I think maybe a little bit. I don't know. I don't want to say nervous. But I just think he's stuck in that team game mindset. And
he,
I think
he
Izzo,
might be afraid to mess up.
He may be afraid to mess up, too. You know, and we've had that debate a lot when it comes to Tom Izzo's players. I don't know. And that could be another layer to it. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Henry did have 7 points against Indiana. You had Kenny Goins. He was 5 of 8 from the floor, 14 points. Xavier Tillman chipped in with 11. He was 5 of 9 from the floor. Cueto, Matt McQuaid, 3 of 8 for 6 points, and then Cassius Winston. If Michigan State would have won, there would have just been another added chapter to the remarkable year that has been Cassius Winston, because for the most part throughout that game, Cassius Winston was brilliant, and he's been brilliant throughout 90% of this season, right? 20 points, he had 11 assists, also throwing 5 rebounds, just 3 turnovers. But Michigan State as a whole, as you heard Izzo say, it was those just as a whole, Michigan State had some bad turnovers in this game. They gave Indiana buckets left and right. 14 turnovers for Michigan State against Indiana, Brad.
Kenny Goins had some weird, uncharacteristic turnovers for him. He started dribbling the ball, which he usually doesn't do.
Right.
And
right.
So I don't know if he was trying to press a little bit. Outside of that, I thought Kenny had a pretty good game. Again, he's been solid for
us.
He just had some weird turnovers.
The best walk-on in America. He was also 4 of 7 from deep. But, yeah, he led the team in turnovers along with Aaron Henry. Henry and Goins both had 4 turnovers. So for Michigan State, I don't think anything's guaranteed from here on out, Brad. You know, this is how I look at Michigan State, because that's the big question, right? Al, how do you feel about this team making a run come the Big Dance. How do you feel about this team possibly winning a Big Ten championship? Well, I think the Big Ten championship, who cares about that? I'm with you, Brad. Mm-hmm. Who cares about that? That ship has sailed now. I don't see Purdue losing to Minnesota or Northwestern. As far as a deep run in the tournament right now, we're going to debate this in a second as we get Deshaun Tate on the line. It all depends on the seeding for Michigan State. Again, in a perfect world, I would love for Michigan State to be a number one seed and in a place in that first round where they don't have to travel really far from home. You know, maybe playing like Columbus. That'd be awesome, right? But with this loss to Indiana, I don't know if Michigan State is going to be a one seed. I think that especially if Michigan State goes out early in the Big Ten tournament, they'll be somewhere two or three. Yeah.
And they'll make that first round. I think they win the first round, but are they going to have enough for the second round?
I don't know.
That's
the question.
Or I guess now would be second round, third round.
Right, exactly, right. And for me, I would love to see Michigan State as much as you. We don't root against Michigan State, right? But if they lose that Friday,
okay.
Okay. I'm mm-hmm. not crying a river, you know, like Justin Timberlake. I'm like saying, all right, they lost, cool, rest up, get ready for what matters now. So your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. On the other side of this break, we will welcome to the hour college basketball analyst for CBS Sports Radio 92.9 in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The great Deshaun Tate will help us break down the big picture when it comes to today's present college basketball rankings and world. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have been discussing the Michigan State men's basketball loss to Indiana on the road this past weekend. And in just a moment, we hope to have join us here on Current Sports, Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta, college basketball analyst, reporter, radio personality. He'll help us take a broader look at the world of college hoops. So you don't want to miss that conversation. Real quick, we got some comments coming in courtesy of our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKANews. The new look Current Sports live stream. We've got our own Drew Henderson manning that today. Thank you so much, Drew. Ben comments below that live stream and says, quote, I want to know why Marcus Bingham isn't playing. Izzo said before the Michigan game that all of the big guys would play more, and Marcus hasn't played in but maybe one Big Ten game, if that, and he may not have played in any Big Ten games, but I just don't get why that is with all of the injuries that we have. And that's a good question, Ben, one that I don't have the answer to. Because, yeah, we played to you the audio snippet of Izzo at the podium during the press conference that followed the announcement of Nick Ward being injured, you know, having that fracture, that hairline fracture to his shooting hand. And Izzo said, you'll see everybody. You know, you're basically saying you'll see the Army, Navy, and Marines. Everybody's got to play now. Everybody's got to step up. And I thought that meant that, yeah, we'd see more of Marcus Bingham. And that's why, you know, looking at the reality that in the final 11 minutes and 42 seconds of that Michigan State loss to Indiana, Tom Izzo did not sub any player in the game. That's why it puzzles me so much. I'm with you, Ben. I don't know. I do not have the answer to that question, and I think that's a really good point there. Also, Ben comments and says that we went away from our inside game in the second half against Indiana, and we had 15 turnovers in the game against Indiana. Yeah, the turnovers didn't help. 14, to be exact, Ben. 14 turnovers for Michigan State. As I noted, Kenny Goins and Aaron Henry led the team in turnovers, 4 apiece there. Xavier Tillman, X-Man, had 2.
Cassius Winston had three. Kyle Arns with one. 14 turnovers. That kept Indiana in the game. The lack of offensive rebounding helped Indiana tremendously. 15 offensive rebounds in comparison to just five for Michigan State. Yeah, that'll lose you the game, folks. Turnovers and rebounding will lose you the game and will keep lowly competition around for a chance to nip you. And that's exactly what happened to the Spartans this past weekend. So my question to you, again, if you want to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. My question to you is just how confident do you feel about Michigan State moving forward? Do you think that Purdue is going to lose one of those games against Minnesota, against Northwestern to give MSU a shot at still winning a piece of the Big Ten championship? Or do you not care? Is it just about resting up this team for the big dance? What are your thoughts on the Big Ten tournament? Because for me, the conference tournament games are just like meaningless. I just don't understand them. It's all about just bringing in more money for the NCAA. But, you know, Michigan State doesn't need to perform outstanding in that tournament. Again, if they lose Friday, they lose that first game. Oh, well, cool. Gives Michigan State more time to rest up and get ready for the big dance. Mike Cox weighs in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews and says we were delusional to think Michigan State would be a one seed. And I don't know if I would say that, Mike. I think that, you know, when we watched Michigan State, especially, I mean, not too far, long ago, folks. I mean, just the weekend prior to this past weekend, we saw Michigan State pull out one of Tom Izzo's best regular season wins of the season. Topping Michigan on the road at the Chrysler Center. You don't have Nick Ward. Michigan, a top 10 program. And Michigan State somehow, some way, finds a way to beat the Wolverines. So it wasn't too long ago when we were praising Tom Izzo and praising this team. One of Tom Izzo's best coaching jobs. And, you know, and it just goes to show how things can change in the matter of days, right? You know, you're only as good as your last game. But I think about that game, and I think about where this team was when they had Nick Ward, and rewind the clock even prior to that. You know, when Michigan State had Josh Langford a part of the roster. We realistically thought that the Spartans had a really good shot at being a numero uno seed in the NCAA tournament. So I don't know if delusion is the right word. I wouldn't go that far because it looked like a real possibility at first. And, you know, I feel for Izzo. Izzo also stated, you know, at the podium that, you know, he's having nights. This is the time of the year where he doesn't sleep. He's up late at night trying to figure out and trying to think to himself, how can I improve this team? What adjustments can I make? What can we do to figure this thing out? He's not sleeping. And there's a part of him that enjoys this challenge. He loves being challenged, and this is certainly a challenge for him. But when you look at Michigan State's roster and you evaluate the amount of minutes that your starters are playing, there's only so much you can do if you're playing your starters and not giving them relief and having production from your bench. There's only so much you can do and only so far you can go, especially if we're talking about this problem now. You know, you want your team to be as fresh as they can be when the big dance comes. But, you know, Kenny Goins, 38 minutes for him. Cassius Winston, 38 minutes for him. And Cassius has been averaging close to 40 minutes per game. He's been playing just about every minute of every game. About, what, like 80% of the season. Matt McQuaid played 36 minutes. Aaron Henry had 34 minutes against Indiana, and Xavier Tillman with 32 minutes. Your bench, Thomas Kithier, 10 minutes. Kyle Arnes, 10 minutes. Foster Lawyer, 2. And some of this falls on Izzo, folks. It really does. You can't let Izzo off the hook here. It's easy to say, well, what do you expect Tom to do when you don't have the bodies? But at the same time, you know, I always go back to this because, especially when it comes to Cassius Winston, because right now you need Cassius Winston to play these kind of minutes if you want to win games. Because, let's face it, Foster Lawyer just isn't ready. But you know who that falls on. That falls on Tom Izzo not giving Foster Lawyer adequate minutes earlier on in the season so that Foster wouldn't be shell-shocked come these big-time Big Ten play games. Because right now, Foster just, he does look shell-shocked. He looks like a deer in headlights anytime he goes out there. You can't rely on any offensive production for Foster. You know, he's basically just kind of a game manager when he's out there. So with that being said, if Cassius isn't in the game, boy, that MSU offense just, it looks entirely different, right? It really does. But that falls on Izzo because I don't believe that Izzo prepared his bench, prepared his young players well enough for this moment. And really the only way you can prepare them is just by playing them. He should have just pulled the trigger and said, Bingham, get out there. Gabe Brown, get out there. Foster, play. Because right now it's hurting them. So, you know, Michigan State, looking at, again, 30-plus minutes for all of your starters. You know? 32 minutes from Xavier Tillman. That was the least amount of minutes from your starting lineup. Having to play that kind of heavy minutes from here on out into March, you just get the sense that the wheels are going to fall off at one point, right? That Michigan State is just going to be burnt out. And one of those games come the Big Dance where they just don't, they won't have any legs. Fatigue will set in. And whoever they're playing, the opposition will sense blood in the water and they just won't have enough in the tank. That's the big concern. That is the big worry for Michigan State right now. So I would love that, Brad, though. I tell you what, if something just hit Izzo where he's like, skip it, man, whatever. My starters aren't going to play. I'm resting my starters until Selection Sunday comes around. Oh, that would be great. But it's just not in Tom Izzo's nature. He's too competitive. And again, he still believes his team controls, you know, their own destiny when it comes to possibly winning a Big Ten regular season championship. He'll never do that. Izzo won't ever do that. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, folks. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Having some troubles in getting Deshaun on the phone as we come up with just about 10 minutes left in the hour. In the meantime, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll have weekend winners for you, and I'll elaborate on a few impressive performances at Lucas Oil Stadium at the NFL Combine. That and more, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports when we come back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As we come up with just less than 10 minutes here left in the hour, I want to comment on the NFL Combine, my weekend winner segment. Who had the best weekend in the world of sports? Well, the Combine taking place in Indianapolis, Indiana. First off, I do want to say this. I had one of my homies text me this morning saying that, Al,
I went and, you know, I've always wanted to enjoy, as a fan, the NFL Combine just to see what it's like. And it's free, you know, free event, right, at Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Indiana, a pretty cool town, very cool sports city, without a doubt. So he traveled there and attended the NFL Combine, and he hated it. Why? Well, the NFL won't allow you to, like, shoot video or take any pictures as a fan. You can't yell and cheer. You just basically got to sit there and just watch. And he didn't enjoy it. You know, him and his buddies actually got so frustrated, they said, all right, let's just go hit the bar. And that's exactly what they did. So, but I get it. You know, it's the NFL Combine. So basically, you know, these young athletes are it's like a job interview, basically. You're auditioning in front of all of these NFL scouts and GMs and owners, right? So to have fans cheering and loud, I don't know. But at the end of the day, that'd be kind of a cool test for him, right? I mean, because you're going to be in front of thousands and thousands of fans on any given Sunday. So why not a lot of fans go in there and just cheering and go crazy? I don't understand that. The NFL, the no fun league for a reason, right? But one of my big winners, Montez Sweat. How impressive was he, right? Mississippi State defensive lineman Montez Sweat. Everybody was talking about what this young man was able to do at the NFL Combine. Sweat is listed as a 6'5", 260-pound, just a beast. He's a beast. Check this. Sweat uncorked a 4.41 40-yard dash. 4.4. As a defensive lineman, folks, that's the fastest time recorded by a defensive lineman at the Combine since 2006. And to further put in perspective just how ridiculous that is, he was also faster than 21 of the 23 running backs who ran the 40 at this year's Combine. Unreal, Brad. I saw that number and I said, hold on, that's got to be some history. That number flashed on my phone over the weekend and I said, what? And Brad chimes in my ear saying, I can do that. I highly doubt that, Brad. 4'4 as a defensive lineman. This dude is 6'5", 260 pounds. Amazing. So, you know, Sweat improved upon Jadeveon Clowney's 4'5", 340 back in 2014. Clowney, as we all know, he went on to be selected number one overall by the Houston Texans. And for comparison, the Chicago Bears running back Tariq Cohen ran a 4.42 40 at 179 pounds at the 2017 Combine, while New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. ran a 4.43 40 at 198 pounds in 2014. That's freakish. That is just insane. So, shout out to Montez Sweat. That was very, very impressive. When it comes to Nick Bosa, you know, he's a big name as well that a lot of people were talking about. Day three of the Combine. A lot of people believe that he will go numero uno to the Arizona Cardinals. So an injury held out Bosa for most of the 2018 year. But he's a top prospect. He clocked a 4.79 40-yard dash on Sunday. So, you know, a lot of people are very big on Nick Bosa. I still believe that Bosa will be the number one overall pick, but Montez Sweat, my goodness, I think he improved his draft stock. He may crack the top 10. I don't know. But this is the thing, too. I mean, you look at the Combine and people go crazy. People just lose their minds. Based on measurements and based on, you know, drill performances and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, I've always adhered to, you know, what these young men have put on tape. What have you seen them do on tape in college that you believe makes them a top prospect? Sure, you can garner a lot from measurements and numbers at the Combine. I mean, just how athletic these guys are. But what have they done on film is big for me. So, on tomorrow's Current Sports, I'll break down what the Detroit Lions should do
with their pick based on the talent that we saw out in Indianapolis, Indiana. Also want to note, seeing as though we switched up things here on Today's Current Sports and dove just right into the talk when it comes to Michigan State men's basketball, as far as a few other weekend winners, I do want to acknowledge my Detroit Pistons topping the Toronto Raptors in overtime last night. So the Pistons are one of my my weekend winners as well. The Pistons were led by 27 points from Blake Griffin. Kyle Lowry led all scorers with 35 points in the game, but Detroit closed the game on a 10-0 run to secure the win over the Toronto Raptors in overtime. And the Pistons right now, it looks like they may be a 6 seed in the NBA playoffs if they continue this consistent trend of winning games, not going on long slumps. So we'll see what happens there. And I do want to note that the Michigan State women's basketball team, this news is just now coming out. The MSU women's basketball team will be a 9 seed in this week's upcoming Big Ten women's basketball tournament, which will be held from Wednesday to Sunday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. The 9-seeded Spartans will face 8-seed Northwestern in the second round on Thursday. So Thursday at noon is when that game will take place. We'll give you an update on Thursday's Current Sports as that one goes along. Maryland, of course, regular season Big Ten champ, earns the number 1 seed and will face the winner between the Spartans and the Wildcats the following day. All right, so I want to pass it along to you guys. All right, and last but certainly not least, with a minute left here, rest in peace to one of the greats, folks. Red Wings great and NHL union pioneer Ted Lindsay passed away this morning at the age of 93. More on Lindsay's passing on tomorrow's Current Sports as well. In the meantime, I want to say happy Monday. Have a fantastic Monday afternoon. We'll be back at it, same time, same place, on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, as always, be easy, people.